Today is Ascension Thursday of our Lord, May 25th, 2006.
I'm going to make a short commentary on the Gospel readings and the Epistle. I say when our Lord ascended up into heaven, right? When he gets right above the clouds, and then, you know, apostles can't see him or anybody, but he's really like going up to heaven now. What was the first thing that he did? Wow! I'm going home! Oh, praise God. I said it's not that he didn't love the apostles or anything, but he did his time. And as St. Paul, does St. Paul say that? He says, I wish that I was in heaven and translated with God, but I know it's best that I remain behind for your own good, because you need me now to strengthen you in your faith. But when God determines that you no longer need me, then I can't wait to get out of here and go home. Because who of us, that's our sentiments the same. We're pilgrims here on earth. Our Lord said that. Lord, I pray for them. They're not of this world. But they have to remain in the world for a while. They can't come out like I'm ready to come out. So please protect them. And if we didn't think like that, and if that wasn't so true, that means this world's paradise on earth. And it's a complete opposite. It's a cesspool of iniquity. It is a time bomb, minefields of sin, dirt, filth. Even our own concupiscence weighs us down. Everything is a lose-lose as far as if you thought this was paradise. It's not. It's dangerous. It's a horrible place. It's like somebody who's in the middle of Vietnam or any type of a battle, whoever military guy, and the shells are hitting, and the bombs are going, and the bullets are flying, and buddies are dying all around him. The guy would be nuts if he would say, I can't wait for this to end. Either we win, they win, and the thing is over. Well, that's what Jesus is going up to heaven. He's leaving this war field. He's leaving this penal colony. He's going up to the Father, and it's a great, joyful time. But they say it's also a sad time in a way, because the apostles no longer have the direct presence of Jesus, and Mary's no longer has a direct presence. But I say, yes, sad, but I don't think too sad. Not even for Mary. I don't think too sad at all. Because, first of all, she saw the resurrection. She knew about it anyway, but she saw her risen Son. She knows she's going to be with him for all eternity. And she loves her son so much, what best could she want for her son and son go home now? To me, I don't even see very much sorrow with Mary in this even, at all. I almost see total joy because she's saying, you've done your time.
Yeah.
Now it's time for you to go home to the Father. And then she's just waiting anxiously to follow him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes even her, everything to me seems to be almost totally joyful to her. A little bit of sadness, I think, that you're not going to be able to have his companionship, that you're not going to be able to eat with him, that you're not going to be able to hear his sermons, you're not going to be, but there's that overwhelming joy that, you know, he's up in heaven with his Father, with the angels, and he's bringing all the saints with him. So what a glorious reunion that was. But you even see right before he left there, he says right before he ascended, it sounds like he upbraided them again for their lack of faith.
Yeah.
He upbraided them.
Yeah.
So in other words, when he did tell the apostles in Mark 9:28-30 in that verse, he says, the Son of Man shall be delivered in the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he's killed, he shall rise again the third day. And they understood not the word. Well, we were thinking, well, did God really purposely? No, now we know God didn't purposely blind them. Sometimes God can do that.
Yeah.
He can really willfully blind you to a revelation, the meaning of a revelation, because he don't want you to know it. Like his divinity, he can do that. But in this case, we know this was not the case. He really wanted them to believe what he said, and he told them several times. So that's saying, boy, how bad we are as human beings, how weak we are, how our concupiscence is, how we can so easily be swayed by the world. So this proof of what you read in Matthew 16, where he upbraided them, that means he wasn't deliberately hiding from them. Because if God hides something from your understanding, then you ain't going to understand it. It's his will. But in this case, it was not his will that that revelation should have, the meaning of that revelation should have been hidden from them, or she would have upbraided them. So he's saying, what is it that you didn't understand about what I said? And that goes back to what I was saying before about us in the final days. What is it that you didn't understand about the final days? Did you not know there's going to be a small flock? Like in the days of Noah, when there was only eight, that when the Son of Man comes, there will be any faith left on the world, that there has to be a great apostasy, and that there has to be the reign of the Antichrist, that there has to be a one world government. Did you, oh, you of little faith, did you not remember all these things, that this had happened? So, we are held responsible if we, if we break in the faith, if we weaken. Like Ron was saying this morning, I was saying how the devil tempts in many ways. What he's tempting me with now, and I was reading the other day, like when you're really bad, it's easy. The devil conquers you with one blow, you know, it's easy. He gets you out with sinful stuff. But when you're being saintly and you want to be good, he's very deceptive. He comes at you in a different way, but he's still coming at you because he doesn't stop. And he tries to get you in different ways. So what the devil does, it's a deep deception to the devil here. On one side, because I know God has slowed me down to get... See, you saw from the 1 week to the next week what I wrote there, you see? So God has slowed me down and saying, do one thing that's placed in front of you right, and don't try to do 20 things. Ron said it would have been like Noah trying to build the ark in a hurry. How long did it take him to build the ark? 100 years. If he tried to build it in a hurry, there would have been holes in it, leaks, the thing wouldn't work, all kinds of stuff would have been happening, right? You know, and so the point is, slow down, Richard. Forget about all these people on the internet. I don't care if one person comes into church at all. Now, that sounds cruel to some people, right? Somebody might say, well, he doesn't, you know, you say, hey, he doesn't care, but I'm there, he told us. No, they aren't worried. The world is wretched. Yeah. You let God do that work. You stay away from it. You have a healthy disdain for people. You, unless they're showing some goodwill and God puts you temporarily in front of them, but don't think that you've got to be going out there as we're doing it. We are doing it right now.
Right.
Even pouring my guts out with pastorals with things people should know. This work needs to get done first. So what the devil's trying to do here, sometimes I say, man, maybe I'm being uncharitable. I don't want to despair for the human race, you know. I don't want to lose hope in all humans. Because almost you just want to go into the mountain and say, I really don't want to see another human. I got to the point now, this is where God wants me though. You see, but here's the devil's tempting. He says, Richard, I now got you to the right point. In other words, I don't want no human beings coming into the church. Not meaning that nastily, but unless you're going to come in with a whole heart like we came in, I don't want you.
Yeah.
We don't need you. It's nothing but trouble. And the church has always known that too. That's why she don't let you come right into the church. She says, you ain't coming into here right away. You're going to be a catechumen for 6 months to a year. I want testimonies of the validity of the morality of your life and that you're learning the faith, or we don't let you into Holy Mother Church. You can see how the distractions were even doubled and tripled when you're out there on the internet debating people who are of bad will, corresponding with people who you know aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
This is all an illusion. I'm still answering good questions that people send me, but I'm taking my time about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the healthy attitude, which is what Mary and God Mary has got me to, which is, I don't know, buddy. You know, saying, you know, Noah didn't go around the earth trying to advertise and once he knew they weren't listening, he says, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I got an ark to build. But so the point is, he don't want nobody else. And God says, that's right, Richard, finally you're thinking correctly. You should not want nobody in here. Unless they are 100% sincere. I don't mean 100% saintly. I mean 100% sincere. Every one of us that came here had to go through a long road to get here. We drove cars. We gave up family members. And until I start seeing that kind of attitude, you know, if I think the question is of bad will, I don't even answer it.
Yeah.
So the work is wrong. You just go to my website. Let's say to Ron, for instance. And people will say, oh, look what I bring. Like, they'll come out here and the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. We know that. People are going to hell. The cities are getting blown up. People are lost. And they come out and they go, we got to come out, let's speak to Richard, maybe he can help us, right? And the Mary's little remnant, and we're all out like on Elephant Butte fishing. But, what a beautiful thing. Look at that little birdie drinking from the water. How can he be fishing? He's fishing and we're all going to hell. Hey, that's your problem. I got the website. I haven't withheld anything. It's there. I fish. Even if the hell's world's going to hell, it's my recreation time. Leave me alone. So that's what God's telling us. Because then you're thinking, you yourself are going to change your whole life. You're going to stay up 24 hours a day going after like these workaholics. Think you are going to do this. So God is saying, no, this is my time. I don't care. You know, somebody come up and say, hey, Rich, did you hear what happened? What happened? New York City just got blown up, and it said, don't bother me right now until I'm done fishing. All right? Wait till I'm done fishing. Don't you care? No, I knew it was going to happen. Shut up and let me fish now. This is my recreation. I knew it was going to happen. No, that's their problem. Tell them about it. I've done everything I can do. What do you want me to do? Go on my website and read. You know, so the other side of me is like despairing on the human race. But in a way, God says, no, you're not. The devil's making you think you're despairing on it. You're not despairing on it. You're healthily abhorring it. Because wherever you go out there, it's a minefield. Somebody's hiding a trap for you. They're setting this for you. They're setting that for you. And most important is just to know what time we're living in and when the proper thing,
right.
And what is the proper thing to do. If somebody's not right in that, we're gonna do to help those people until God opens their heart. If you go in here and you allow somebody to keep asking questions and they haven't answered your last 10 good questions, because
right.
Once you, see, and that's Mary, God, Mary taught us this.
Yeah, right.
It's an easy one, really. It's one of the things where God says, oh, you have little faith. Why don't you got common sense, Richard? When you become Catholic, you don't lose your common sense. So don't let the devil think that you're this false charity. So there you got the idea of how to deal with people the proper way. If they're not showing any goodwill, and you've given them enough information and they're not responding and say, well, why should I even talk to you? Because you're not really interested in the truth anyway.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus didn't talk to many people. And he even says here, he only revealed himself to a select few. So Jesus only revealed himself to a very select few who he knew were going to listen to him. And at times when he needed to confront the other people, either to condemn them or hope for, it was very rare. You know, and the people with bad will, it was only to condemn them. And this is what Jesus sent into heaven, going, wow, I'm out of here. Because you have little faith. How much longer must I be with you? He said that somewhere else in the Gospels.
Yeah.
Even St. Paul said it. Because That's proper. If you actually looked at this world like you don't want to leave it, and that's, you know, isn't it that opposite of the Grunerites and all these fallen away Catholics, yeah, these apostate bums that love the world?
Yeah.
They don't want to leave the world. Mm-hmm. They love it, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because they got their money, they got their positions, they got their whatever it is, their vices, which is either popularity, they like to have fame, they like to have money, they're in love with the world. Mm-hmm. So they don't want that to happen. We're saying, I can't wait. This place is abomination. Lord, come quickly. If you don't, I'm dead. If you don't come, we're all dead. Please, I want to get out of this veil of tears, this valley of darkness, this load of flesh. Even when you're in a good grace and perfect, you got this flesh weighing you down like a ton of bricks. You come around, you go, I wanted to do, oh, and I can't do that. I wanted to do that. And it says it in Scripture. So this whole world is a place to disdain because it's an evil place. St. John, or St. James says in James 4:4, he says, be not friends with the world, for whoever's a friend with the world is an enemy of God. And St. John says in 1 John 5:19, he says, the whole world is seated in wickedness. So how can you love a place like this? You have to hate evil. And you have to abhor evildoers even though you love them personally. But that doesn't mean you love associating with them or socializing with them. So that Jesus' ascension was the culmination of all of this, and then it was a great moment of joy for him, of course, and I believe even the apostles and all that, it was equally joyful, even though he had that little bit of thing where we're going to miss him, you know, no one's going to be able to take your place the way you did. Yeah, but don't worry, you have the Holy Ghost and you have the human leaders. Mm-hmm. The greatest thing in here, if you notice, because you know what the apostles are thinking? See, you say, oh, God is always just perfect. Even he makes up for our weaknesses, because if we have no hope. So the apostles are looking at Jesus going up to heaven, they're going, when am I going to see you again? And what does the angel say? Men of Galilee, why are you looking up like that? He's going to come back, just the way you saw him go. And he could even say, don't worry, you're going to go up to him before he even comes back. So you're going to see him again. But even more or less, they're looking like this, though. You know what that statement's really directed towards? All of us, because he's the world. Because he's saying, don't worry, world. The world itself is good. I mean, not the reason the world's evil, he calls it evil, is because it meant, because of original sin. So the world itself, birds, fruit, flowers, trees, all this stuff is good. But the system of the world is wicked. So what the angel is saying, don't worry, world, and all you goodwill people, and meek and humble of heart, the Lord's coming back. The earth is his. He's going to take it back. That's when he comes as the king. Because even they were saying, Lord, when is the kingdom going to be established? He's coming back. He's going to take possession of everything. He's going to wrap, and when that happens, everything's going to be nothing more than a bad memory. Nothing more than a bad memory. Once God reestablishes the paradise even in more glory than he originally created with Adam and Eve. And everybody else who's in hell right now, that's where they're going to be for all eternity. So it's only a short little period of time we have to suffer here and go through these trials and tribulations. And so what's the big deal? If people want to love their family and things in the world more than God, then they're not worthy of God. They're not going to make it. That's all. So we just pray to God that our day for our ascension will come. Because every time, if you die and you're saved, unless you got to go to purgatory, and even after that, then you go to heaven. So right now, all the saints that are in heaven with our Lord, without Jesus doing that, there is no salvation. So really, the apostles are looking at their reward, if you stay faithful. Looking at Jesus going, that's your reward. Not only, you know, he's God, he died, he rose from the dead, now he's going back into heaven. And St. Paul says, that proves he went back from heaven, came back from down from heaven in the first place during the incarnation. Now he's going back home again. And guess what? He ain't staying there. He's coming back again. He's not going to leave you orphans. Even now he's not going to leave you orphans because we have the Holy Ghost. That's it for now.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.